This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday the 2nd of February 2024. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. I'll start off by introducing our readers for this week. Heather Bryant.
Hello.
Richard Martin.
Hello.
Deborah Cranmer.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Peter Lydiard. And so we begin with our usual regular notices. The first is to say, if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please contact us on 01962 861229. That's 01962 861229. This number can also be found on the key fob attached to your memory stick. As you listen to the recording, remember you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to any of the tracks if you want to listen again. And for those of you with computers or tablets, apart from using the memory stick in the box provided, you can load it onto your own device. And you can also access the weekly recordings of the Chronicle through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com. Just go to the website, click on News on the header bar, locate the recording you want to hear, and click Download. Recordings are listed in date order, with the most recent first on the list. And you can hear Winchester Talking Newspaper on Awaz Community Radio every Saturday at 5 p.m. As was radio is on the DAB channel. Just retune your DAB radio and search for Awaz. And you can also listen to us reading the news as a podcast via the Hampshire Chronicle website. So we start off with our usual headline stories. And the first is from Heather, please, which is headed Hospital in Crisis as All Beds Are Full. Heather, please.
A critical incident has been declared at the hospital as all beds are full, with people needing treatment being warned of extremely long waits. Hampshire Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust, HHFT, which runs hospitals in Winchester, Basingstoke and Andover, declared the incident on Tuesday, January the 30th, due to sustained pressures at Winchester and Basingstoke hospitals. It was still in place as the Chronicle went to press yesterday. The Trust said the decision had not been taken lightly, but said attendance at emergency departments was extremely high. A statement on the HHFT said, "Attending our emergency departments for non-life-threatening conditions will mean an extremely long wait." Other services in the country also declared critical incidents for similar reasons, with Ambulance Service SCAS blaming handover times at hospitals and QA Hospital in Portsmouth referring people elsewhere. HHFT added, "Please help us protect care for those who need it most. Only attend the emergency department for a life-threatening illness or injury. If a friend or loved one is ready for discharge, please help by collecting them at the earliest opportunity. As part of the critical incident response, we will be looking for support across the health system to discharge patients who no longer require acute care and limit the number that need to come to the acute hospital." Last week, South Central Ambulance Service, SCAS, declared a critical incident after a spike in 999 calls at a time when many crews were experiencing long delays handing over patients at hospitals. It was stood down at 10 a.m. on Friday, January 26th. A previous critical incident, because of patient numbers, was declared at the RHCH in December 2022. One was also placed last November when a car crashed into a power unit at the hospital in Winchester.
Thank you, Heather. Richard, please.
Well, as a follow-up to that, hospital leaders back £900 million NHS proposals. A group of Hampshire health leaders has supported plans for changes to hospital services. the NHS in Hampshire is proposing up to £900 million programme to improve healthcare for people in the county. The Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester would be refurbished and an urgent treatment centre would replace the A&E department. In Basingstoke, a new specialist acute hospital, including urgent and emergency care on the current Basingstoke Hospital site or near Junction 7 of the M3, would be built. The plans have been criticised. Some clinicians from Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust and Hampshire Isle of Wight Integrated Care Board believe the £1 million plans would better benefit patients. An open letter has been written by Dr. Lara Alloway, Chief Medical Officer of Hampshire ICB, and a number of other NHS leaders. Yes, sorry. They've sent this letter, which reads, "The proposals are based on clinical evidence, best practice, and years of combined clinical experience. We have created them to deliver safe, high-quality services which are sustainable for the future with sufficient specialist staff to run services well. Bringing together more specialist services for the most seriously ill patients onto one site would mean we can bring services in line with best practice and national guidelines. New and refurbished buildings will help us to provide modern healthcare, make better use of new technology, and reduce our environmental impact." The group said a separate planned surgery centre in Winchester would reduce the number of procedures cancelled at short notice. The urgent treatment centres would see and treat around 60% of people who currently attend the hospital's emergency departments. The new midwife-led birthing units at both hospitals and a birthing unit led by obstetricians at the specialist acute hospital would mean we have consultants on site for more hours, giving people safer care. Having one neonatal unit instead of trying to staff two units would mean we could bring our specialist staff together. A dedicated children's service would include a separate children's emergency department for the first time. We'd also create step-up and step-down hospital beds to care for people who need medical, nursing, physiotherapy or other support. This will help people to get back home as soon as possible and free up specialist beds for the most acutely unwell patients. A cancer treatment centre would provide chemotherapy, radiotherapy and supportive care from a multidisciplinary team, and we will continue to provide cancer outpatient services and some chemotherapy locally. Importantly, most daily hospital visits will continue to be provided at Winchester Hospital and at the current Basingstoke Hospital site, as well as Andover, Alton and other locations close to people's homes. A public consultation on the changes is open until midnight on March the 17th. For more information, go to Hampshire Together, that's all one word, hampshiretogether.nhs.uk.
Thank you, Richard. Deborah, please.
Now, a change of subject. Uncertainty over plan guidance for Silver Hill. Winchester City Council has been questioned whether it will continue to use supplementary planning documents, SPDs, over the emerging Silver Hill scheme within the new local plan. SPDs are used to ensure that there is no uncertainty around issues such as massing, height, mix, design and quality of development in the scheme, also known as the Central Winchester Regeneration. But there is now uncertainty as the government has decided to get rid of them and the City Council is seeking legal clarity. In June 2018, the City Council approved the SPD for Central Winchester with input from more than 3,000 people after the cancellation of the first Silver Hill project in 2016. It was considered successful, giving many people the chance to influence how Silver Hill might be developed. Fresh plans are currently being drawn up. Councillor Caroline Horrill, Conservative Group Leader, asked the full council meeting if the SPD would be adopted as part of the new local plan, saying, The SPD sets out the vision, objectives and planning and urban design framework for any future development of Central Winchester, of the Central Winchester regeneration area, and the desire to reset the development agenda. The document has been used to provide planning advice and guidance to the selected developer for regeneration within this part of Winchester city centre. The adoption of the SPD means it became a material consideration in the determination of any planning application within the Central Winchester area as identified in the SPD. With the emergence of a new local plan, can the portfolio holder please confirm that the Central Winchester SPD will be adopted as part of the new Reg 19 draft local plan and ensure that the appropriate steps will be actioned before the adoption of the new local plan so that there is no uncertainty and gap between the current and new local plans? Councillor Jackie Porter, Cabinet Member for Place and Local Plan, said, "The SPD sits at the heart of our plans to regenerate Central Winchester. As a piece of planning guidance, it remains in force until the new local plan has passed through inspection and been agreed. Our wish is that we would be able to update it as needed to sit alongside the new local plan as soon as this is finally agreed. However, it will be difficult to carry over the SPD into the local plan when Parliament has decided to abolish SPDs in future local plans. As we seek legal advice, one of our questions will be how we carry forward the policies of the SPD into our new local plan. Will we be able to do this via supplementary plans, or do we need some other mechanism? Or have the changes to legislation made it altogether impossible? As soon as we have clearer guidance from government and confirmation of the details of their plans for supplementary plans, we will let members know how we intend to proceed."
Thank you, Deborah. My piece is headed "Bushfield Camp Planning Debate May Wait Until May." The Planning Committee is unlikely to discuss the application for the Bushfield Camp development until May at the earliest, according to a senior city councillor. As previously reported, public consultation for the major development opened on October the 27th and ran for almost 6 weeks, ending on December the 7th. During this period, the scheme received more than 800 objections. The Cabinet Member for Place and Local Plan, Councillor Jackie Porter, said the application for the project is likely to be heard by the Planning Committee no earlier than May or June. She said, "It's become clear as the process has continued that concerns about the highway's impact of Bushfield are particularly important for residents, and so the City Council is absolutely committed to ensuring that National Highways and Hampshire County Council take the time they need to properly and thoroughly assess the impact of the applications. As a result, based on the timetable they have given us, it is likely that the Bushfield application will not be able to come to committee before May or June, possibly later." Councillor Porter also discussed how many residents will be able to address the committee, adding, "The decision as to how it be handled is, as was agreed in the new constitution last month, is a matter for the planning committee itself and not for the administration. My hope is that the committee will look to run a process that allows a full range of residents and affected organisations, including parish councils, to have their say. I have spoken to the chair of the committee, Councillor Rutter, and this is her intention as well." Councillor Porter's comments were made during a council meeting on Wednesday, January the 17th. At the same meeting, Councillor Adrian Brophy asked how a request by National Highways to have more time to assess the traffic impacts of the Bushfield Camp development will affect the timetable for making a decision on the plan. Councillor Porter replied, "I know how concerned local residents are about the traffic and transport implications of the Bushfield planning application. I am reassured, therefore, that National Highways have sought more time to work through the highway implications of the application with the developer. Once those comments have been received, it will be important for the public to have their say as well, particularly if there is significant new information. And if this is the case, we will allow time in the process for this to happen." Well, those were our usual headline stories. Now we go on, as usual, with the death notices, starting with Heather, please.
Lawler, Barry Lawler, 15th of January, after a very short illness, aged 84.
Lay, Mavis Lay, peacefully on the 14th of January at the Winchester Hospice, aged 87.
Morris, Paul Morris, Captain RAPC, retired on the 2nd of January at Flowerdown Care Home, aged 79.
Plodowski, Pamela Plodowski, 23rd of January, aged 93.
Podger, Hugh Podger, peacefully at the Dower House, 16th of January, age 94.
Reed, Sheila Reed, peacefully at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on the 8th of January.
Thompson, Gordon Roderick Thompson, known as Roy, on the 14th of January at Abbott's Barton Care Home, age 95.
Towle, Janet Towle, 8th of January at Winchester Heights Nursing Home, age 76.
Windybank, June Maureen Windybank, 17th of January at Winchester Hospital.
Thank you very much. Now we go on to the Christian comment, read by Heather, please.
This Christian comment is about the boy Jesus. Although the Nativity story is probably the best known and most widely celebrated in the Christian tradition, the Bible contains very little of Jesus' childhood and growing up. Only two of the four Gospel accounts even mention his younger years at all. Luke and Matthew describe the events before and after his birth, including the family's exile in Egypt to escape mortal danger. Luke has one further narrative about a 12-year-old Jesus visiting the temple in Jerusalem. And that's 30 years of growing up squeezed into four chapters with a lot of gaps to try and fill. I've been contemplating this as part of a prayer exercise devised by St. Ignatius, which invites the reader to reflect and pray using imagination in stories like this, where there is little to go on. For me, this has proved to be both insightful and life-giving as I reflect on Jesus' early life. Based on what we do know and what we can glean from the context, I imagine Jesus growing up as part of a rural faith community. His family would have attended synagogue, and like other Jewish boys, he would have learnt the scriptures from an early age. It seems that he was a confident 12-year-old and was obedient to his parents. Jesus must have felt the trauma his family experienced while he was in the womb, and then as an infant escaping danger. He would have needed a loving and supportive environment to come to terms with that later. Like many families, I imagine Mary and Joseph retelling the stories about his birth and his early childhood over and over until they become the narratives that formed him emotionally and spiritually. There would have been more upheaval later when his father died, and being the firstborn, he would certainly have been expected to take on extra responsibilities. Throughout all of this time, I see his mother, Mary, as a shining example of faith and grace, guiding and supporting him through the uncertainties of growing up, and like all good parents, helping him figure out who he was to become. On reflection, it seems that I have more in common with the younger Jesus than I first thought. I too was raised in a believing family within a faith community that taught me biblical principles and values. My parents also lost me in public when I was young. and I also lost a parent long before I expected to. They say shared experience brings people closer, and that's certainly been true for me. For many years, I have found it easy to relate to the grown-up Jesus as a leader, role model, and teacher, who is really worth following. But imagining him as a child and a young adult gives me a whole new perspective on his humanity and how much like me he was and how much like him I am. And that makes him even more relatable on a whole new dimension. This is from Nigel Hemming, Senior Pastor, Winchester Vineyard Church.
Thank you, Heather. Now we go on to letters to the editor, starting with Richard, please.
And my first letter is entitled Taxing Times. It comes from Crawford Wright of Bishop's Waltham. What is the point of proposed tax cuts when we've lost our bus services to Southampton and Petersfield? In a rapidly growing area, the local amenity tip in Bishop's Waltham is closing. Our school crossing lady is to be made redundant. The roads are full of potholes, many need resurfacing, and the drains and pipework are rarely cleaned out. Whilst the population is increasing, the number of doctors in general practice has been reducing over the last 10 years, hence the difficulty in getting an appointment. Many councils are financially on the brink or have gone bankrupt. The total deficit of local councils will soon exceed £100 billion. The Environment Agency, which is responsible for flood defences and monitoring the water quality of our rivers, has had its budget cut, and our armed forces are reducing in numbers and effectiveness. I would prefer to pay the correct taxes and live in a safe and civilised society. Crawford Wright, Chapel Road, Swanmore, Bishop's Waltham.
Thank you, Richard. Deborah, please.
And the next letter is from Paul Oakley White, and its title is Courteous Rishi. My wife and I were in a group with the Prime Minister last Friday. Whether the questions put to him were aggressive or not, Rishi Sunak listened to both carefully and with courtesy. However, the headline in the Hampshire Chronicle on January the 25th describes the visit as "What a laugh." In my view, a similar meaning to "What a joke." Neither would describe the Prime Minister's visit. Care should be taken when using innuendo. Paul Oakley White, Berwick Road, Week, Winchester.
Thank you, Deborah. My letter is written by Richard Wetherill, and it's headed Crass Monotony of Development. Earlier this week, I had reason to walk the length of the Barton Farm development. During this lengthy walk, I was overwhelmed by the extent and unremitting monotony of this development. It struck me allowing one housing developer to build such a large-scale development is fundamentally flawed. Result is crass monotony with the units clearly designed by the same hand using a limited palette of materials and dwelling types, clearly exploiting the commercial benefit of scales of economies. The result leaves one underwhelmed by the paucity of public realm created. I am sure in themselves the units are adequately designed, but the cumulative effect is reminiscent of a large collection of monopoly houses. In addition, the proposed partial closure of Andover Road and rerouting of a primary entry into the city through this estate is a massive folly that needs to be overturned, otherwise it will be a lasting monument to the intransigence of the authorities involved. This obviously was first proposed by the developer as a cynical way of neutralising objections to the proposals from existing residents on Andover Road. On a related matter, this development has greatly increased the use of Park Road, with its single-lane railway crossing halfway along. This has long been identified as severely dangerous, particularly to pedestrians who have to share this single-track roadway, being approached by blind bends from both ends. Significant funds have been paid from developments on Park Road, and now the massive Barton Farm development for highway improvement in the immediate vicinity. So why has no solution been proposed, such as traffic lights, for this accident in waiting? Are the authorities waiting for a fatality before these funds are used here? That letter is written by Richard Wetherill, retired architect, Park Road, Winchester. The police.
This letter is presented collectively by four church wardens about a Thanksgiving service. May we draw to your readers' attention that a Thanksgiving service will be held for the life of the Reverend Canon Peter Seal at St Paul's Church, Winchester, on Monday, February the 12th at 11 a.m. Peter ministered in Winchester from 1987 until 2021 and was much loved throughout the community. All are welcome at this service to celebrate his life. The letter is from Bill Lucas, Christopher Seaman, Anne Odling, Michael Russell Smith, church wardens of the parish of St Matthew with St Paul, Winchester.
Thank you, Heather Richard.
Well, Anne Weir is somebody else who's fed up, really. She calls her letter the big letdown. The big society was David Cameron's big idea, a policy that sought to leverage the resources and talents of charities and not-for-profits to deliver conservative aspirations for a small state. While appearing to protect social care provision for the young, the elderly and those with disabilities, it shifted the burden of financing the upkeep of public goods like libraries and museums to the third sector. Big society projects cushioned the impact of prolonged austerity measures, which fell hardest on local council budgets. As local council taxes were capped year after year by successive Conservative governments, council budgets shrank by over 25%. Big budget items like statutory social care and highway services have been cut back as far as legally possible. More and more councils are bankrupt. Those are still solvent, like Hampshire, and are looking to take the axe to more public goods that form the fabric of our communities. Earlier this month, Conservative-led Hampshire opened a public consultation on future services. The background paper makes very alarming reading. Across the board, grants to care providers and not-for-profit organisations are set to be slashed. Those who stepped in to fill the gaps are to be sacrificed. Meanwhile, our present Conservative Chancellor has abandoned levelling up, instead talking of further pre-election tax cuts this spring. If your readers value our local care providers, libraries and museums, household recycling centres, local public transport and public services more than tax giveaways, I urge them to have their say now at, and this is an extremely long email.
Yeah, right.
Address, it goes, have your say at www.hants.gov.uk, so far so good, /about the council/have your say/consultations /future services consultation. And that's from Anne Weir of Woodstock Court, Week, Winchester.
So we've all just memorised that, that address.
It's probably very clear once you get on them.
It probably is, yes. Deborah.
The next letter is from Simon Lever. I have commented about the issue surrounding the controversy regarding possible changes to Winchester Hospital's A&E. I have always been under the impression that a decision has already been made, where there are now efforts to sell the plans. Winchester is an ideal hub, located centrally to provide an emergency service. Located in Basingstoke would, apart from costing millions, mean ambulances travelling along an already congested M3. Further, those with friends and family would have the awful stress of travelling to Basingstoke. The idea does not make common sense, something residents in the region certainly possess. Winchester and the area is fortunate in having such a vocationally focused hospital and A&E. If it works, don't fix it. Simon Lever, Juniper Close, Badger Farm.
Thank you, Deborah. My letter, the next letter, is written by Tony Gaster, and it's headed Money Talk. I often park at Tower Street and whatever is above the car park has been shrouded in scaffolding for a long time. I just wondered, hearing that councils are short of cash, how much this is costing. It's not a particularly old building to need this amount of work. Maybe through your columns we might get an explanation. I think it was Mrs. Thatcher who said the government has no money of its own, so it must be with the councils to explain what they're doing with our money. That was written by Tony Gaster of Old Kennels Lane, Oliver's Battery, Winchester, and after it there is a letter editor's note which says, we reported last November that the work is to repair water leaks. We quoted a county council spokeswoman. The contractor that refurbished these wings in 2009 has accepted responsibility for the issue and is making the repairs at its own cost. The cost has not been revealed, despite requests from the Chronicle. Heather, please, your letter.
This letter is from Paul Hickey, entitled Benchmarks. I am a Winchester resident. Winchester is so fortunate to have a wonderful park just outside Winchester Cathedral, at Cathedral Outer Close, so near to Winchester High Street. It only takes a couple of minutes to walk there from the High Street. In many towns and cities, you have to do quite a long walk to get from the High Street to the nearest parks, so Winchester is very fortunate. It's nice that an additional bench has been placed just outside the cathedral since the Winchester Christmas market has finished. The additional bench is near the war memorial. The park could always do with a few more benches. Unfortunately, this additional bench has one great disadvantage. It's facing a brick wall rather than the cathedral. Who wants to sit down and just face a brick wall rather than the wonderful, historic Winchester Cathedral? Please, Winchester Cathedral, reposition this bench. That would then be a great view. Some additional benches in this wonderful park, also facing Winchester Cathedral, would also be very welcome. The letter is from Paul Hickey, Meadow Way, Badger Farm, Winchester.
Thank you, Heather. Richard.
Ginny Ward wonders about the A&E Q&A. Having recently attended the listening event run by Hampshire Together about the new hospital plans for Winchester, what did I think? Well, the presentation was slick, but long. There was not enough time for the Q&A. That's question and answer, I think. And I wasn't able to put my questions to the panel. There was some lip service given to placate concerned Winchester residents about losing A&E, but it was slightly economical with the truth to intimate that they would look at keeping an A&E in Winchester if this is the majority feedback. Let's be completely open here. You cannot have an A&E where there is no emergency surgery, acute medicine or critical care. Their plan downgrades Winchester into a community-style hospital with rehab-type beds, minor planned surgery beds, day case, outpatients and UTC, which is not an acute hospital site. The SE Clinical Senate, comprising senior clinicians advising on, for example, patient safety, could not agree it. It would not be safe for patients. So the concerns would be heard if acute services are centralised to another site. Winchester will not be able to keep an A&D. Similarly, you cannot have specialist maternity where there are no emergency theatres. The birthing unit will be staffed with midwives. That may be preferred by some, but births do not go to plan and need specialist input. They'll be transferred to the acute hospital some 15 or 23 miles away. Will first births even be possible in a midwife unit when 40% of may need specialists, 1 in 10 for subsequent births? For transparency, they must make public the full results of the initial consultation from summer 2020 as all current options downgrade Winchester and give Basingstoke a shiny new one. People said they want acute services in Winchester, especially A&E and maternity. Please send your views to Hampshire Together. That's from Ginny Ward, Main Road, Littleton.
Thank you. Now, if you have an opinion or a subject that you would like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860836. That is 01962 860836. Or you can email them news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk. Or you can write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Well, now we have editorial comment to be read by Deborah, please.
The strange fate of a city centre pub. The fate of the former Corner House pub is a strange story. For well over a century, it traded as a pub on North Wolds, best known as the Forester's Arms. Latterly, it was the Corner House, more of a café-restaurant. Then it closed, despite being a success, and was bought by the City Council to convert into flats. Next Wednesday, the Planning Committee is being recommended to approve the conversion. Belatedly, a campaign group is urging the Council to reconsider, accusing it of a conflict of interest. It points out that as a planning authority, Council policies seek to preserve pubs as a key part of British culture, with clear benefits for social well-being. Yet as a housing provider, the Council is effectively removing the pub, even one that was evolving into more of a hybrid. The campaigners do have a case, especially as the precedent that this unusual case sets will be keenly studied by developers looking to make similar proposals elsewhere. It is important not to forget that the reason the council bought the buildings was to provide 6 homes for people on the council waiting list. Yet there is a strong feeling that this is a scheme simply in the wrong place.
Thank you, Deborah. Right, it's now time for the opinion piece. It's written this week by Khalid Aziz, and it's headed Going Through the Motions.
Oh.
Ah, the River Test, premier chalk stream in the world. So good that George Bush Sr., President H.W. Bush, with all the extraordinary rivers in the USA to choose from, preferred to fly his private jet over from Texas to Southampton for a week's upstream dry fly fishing. In the evenings, he rested his weary head at Laneston House and dreamt of fat brown trout yet to be hooked. Well, it's fair to say that much of Hampshire's prosperity was built upon the Test and its equally renowned twin, the Itchen, which at one stage was navigable from the sea at Southampton's Woodmill all 25 miles up through Winchester to Alresford. Many a water mill was powered by the reliable waters flowing south in both rivers. Even today, you can buy a bag of flour stone ground at the National Trust restored town mill in Winchester. Thanks to the prodigious rainfall, we now have too much water. However, a week ago, hundreds of Winchester householders had not a drop to drink for days. No, it was bottled water for them, kindly supplied by Southern Water, who yet again have been caught with their trousers down. Such has been their cupidity for not preparing for increasingly frequent flood events. For months now, taking your trousers down has been a somewhat fraught exercise in the Bourne Valley. Thanks to backed-up lavatories, householders in the lowest-lying houses have been exercising their bodily functions with some trepidation as rising groundwater inundates a sewer system that has been inadequate for decades. All along the Bourne Valley, hundreds are struggling. For some months in St Mary Bourne and Long Parish, Southern Water tankered contractors have been sucking foul water out of the sewer manholes and carrying it away to sewage works for treatment. For a couple of months now in St Mary Bourne, we've had no fewer than 6 tankers at any one time, running 24/7. Currently, we have 2 sets of temporary traffic lights. Such is the scale of the pumping operation. Pity the poor householders who have a tanker permanently chugging away outside their property. It's much worse in Long Parish, where they look via Hurst and Pryors to their superior neighbours in St Marybourne as generously adding to their woes. The same 8-inch pipe carries what the tankers cannot suck up down to Long Parish to deal with. Inevitably, it sparked gallows humour with the good folk of Long Parish commenting that they're having to deal with effluent from the affluent. Which was quite good, that. It's the same the other side of the A303 at Chilbolton, where they have Long Parish effluent adding to their own homegrown supply. It appears Southern Water is now giving up on the tankering solution, which is no solution at all. They are moving on to the euphemistic policy of over-pumping. This is code for pumping sewage into the all-purpose natural sewer that is the River Test. They say that by initially spraying it onto fields and reed beds where it will be filtered by nature, all will be well. Do they take us for fools? If nature is so good at dealing with effluent, why do we bother with man-made sewers at all? After all, for centuries, that's what they did with all the rivers, including the Thames. Thanks to public outrage, it's claimed London's river artery is now so clean, salmon have returned. Should be even better when the Tideway super sewer is completed next year. So how about something similar serving the villages surrounding the UNESCO World Heritage Site that is the River Test? The 8-inch sewer, installed in 1947, needs replacing with something large enough to accommodate the new housing already built since and when housing is to come. When I moved to St Marybourne 14 years ago, this was a hot topic. It still is. But thanks to Southern Water turpitude, our villagers are still going through the motions. I see what he did there. Right. Right. We now have Belgarum, a couple of items here. An alternative look at the news from Heather first, please.
This is headed Choir Concert Packed with Variety. The Meon Voices Choir is preparing for its next concert, featuring a wide variety of styles. They will be performing music from Gershwin, John Rutter, Vaughan Williams, Cabaret, Adele, and many springtime favourites at St Peter's Church, Bishop's Waltham, on Saturday, April 27th, from 7:30 p.m. There will be an interval with tea, coffee and biscuits. There is no need to book. And while the concert is free to attend, there will be a cash collection with proceeds divided between the choir and the church's charities. The choir rehearses on Monday evenings at United Free Church in Bishop's Waltham, culminating in at least two annual performances.
Thank you. Richard, please.
Ramblers' busy start. The Winchester Ramblers group had a busy start to the year with 19 walks already throughout January in a wide variety of weather. As part of a drive to encourage more people to go out walking and to support the work of the Ramblers, this included an 11-mile taster rambler. A group of 30 walkers enjoyed a cold but sunny walk from Winchester to Hursley, stopping to take in the views from Compton Down. The Dolphin Inn served a soup and sandwich lunch. The group completed the 11-mile round trip to Winchester and rounded off by a well-earned drink and chat by the fire in the Black Boy pub. Richard Eve, chairman of the Winchester Ramblers group, said it was great to have so many new walkers coming out with this. We had some very positive feedback and are delighted that several people have signed up for further walks. Some people have already taken out membership of our group, and as well as the enjoyment of walking with us, this helps us greatly as a charity in our campaigns to keep our countryside open to all and to keep fighting for the things that matter most to walkers.
Thank you, Richard. Now, Deborah is going to read a rather different section of the Hampshire Chronicle now, Curiosity Corner, which takes what I believe is a rather tongue-in-cheek look at Valentine's Day.
Yes, it's headed Saucy Side of Valentine's Day. Antique dealers, romantic, would you believe it? One of the most charming and not hugely expensive items I sold recently was to a Hollywood filmmaker, a framed 19th century Valentine's Day card. It's always worth looking through the ephemera section. What's ephemera? To quote the dictionary, collectible items that were originally expected to have only short-term usefulness or popularity. There's always a little crop of gift buyers around the beginning of February. Make no bones about it, the strangest was a skeleton. Boom, boom. Anyway, as Valentine's Day approaches, I've met with Yasmin Thornber of Evoke Erotes. I think it's fair to say she sells antique and vintage items some might consider saucy. I first met Yasmin at Bath Decorative Fair when she purchased some art from me. She's incredibly knowledgeable and thoroughly engaging with a bubbly personality full of positivism about the things she sells. I asked Yasmin whether she saw herself as a romantic. She said, "I'm a massive romantic. I love love. Romance can be displayed and received in so many forms. That's why I call the business what it is, after the Greek gods of love, the Erotes. I can't say any of the items I sell are weird, because they're all fabulous. Everyone has different needs, interests and cravings, so while they might be niche, they are never weird. But certainly one of the best pieces I've sold consists of dildos that are over 100 years old. Soho lighting to illuminate a home, and Victorian vibrators. I'm not sure what my great aunts would have made of this, but her stock sells to people of all ages and from all walks of life. She said, "I've not sold to film companies, but I have bought from them. I don't kiss and tell, as clients' privacy is very important, but my clients are incredibly special to me, and I have had the absolute honour of crossing paths with very notable individuals." Yasmin believes that when it comes to prudishness, times are changing. We all have sex. We all have a craving, a kink, or a hunger for something. For some reason, people just aren't quite comfortable enough to talk about it. We'll get there. You'll find her business, Evoke Erotes, on Instagram as Evoke Erotes. As we chat, it's impossible not to smile. She pauses, then breaks the silence. "I specialise in the world of provocative antiques and collectibles," she said. "As a result, I sell all kinds of items that are curated to thrill, excite and raise eyebrows. This includes, but is not limited to, impact tools, restraints, erotic literature, naughty signage, and anything that could cater towards the fantasies of others. If you're looking to buy your loved one something a little more thoughtful, I'm sure Yasmin has seeded our collective imagination with something a little more flirtatious."
Now we now move on to items which may be of interest to you happening in your area over the next few weeks or sometimes months. The first item is headed "Stars Line Up for Hall." Thorndon Hall at Thorndon Secondary School in Chandler's Ford will welcome celebrity entertainers for a range of performances in 2024. These one-night-only events will include magic, music and monologues. A local theatre has performances from Martin Fry, the lead singer of the 90s pop band ABC. Singer, actor and presenter Ali Jones and singer-songwriter John Lydon, aka Johnny Rotten, a.k.a. that should be Johnny Rotten. In previous years, the stage has welcomed names including Paul Young, Lulu, Francis Rossi and Marie Pello. Kerry Ellis, who's performed in We Will Rock You and Wicked, will be opening her tour Queen of the West End at Thorndon Hall in September 2024. Thorndon Hall manager Neil Dakin said he's excited by the busy programme of events. He said, "We've got a really impressive line-up for 2024. It's going to be a great year of theatre for us. We can't wait to welcome so many talented entertainers to Thorndon Hall. Keeping the arts alive is inevitably important, incredibly important for the school community. Our programme of performances means that we can be a thriving and vibrant hub for schools, local theatre goers and community groups. Opened in 2003, the Thorndon Hall Arts Centre provides support for Thorndon School's Performing Arts Department. It underwent a complete refurbishment in 2021. And more information about performances can be found by visiting the Thorndon Hall website. Heather, your item, please.
An item about the Wainfleet Singers. A Baroque-styled concert from a Winchester choir will be coming to the Cathedral. The Wainfleet Singers will join instrument group Florilegium for an evening of Baroque masterpieces at Winchester Cathedral on March the 9th. The evening will feature Bach's Magnificat and Handel's Dettingen Te Deum. Bach's Magnificat is one of his most famous pieces, with a five-part chorus, five soloists, and a full Baroque orchestra complete with trumpets and timpani. Handel's Dettingen Te Deum is a hymn of praise, written as a thanksgiving for the victory at the Battle of Dettingen, again filled with trumpets and a triumphant sound. The choral music will be complemented by Bach's Brandon Concerto No. 3 and Handel's Organ Concerto, The Cuckoo and the Nightingale. Ticket prices range from £15 to £50, and booking is open through the Winchester Cathedral website.
Heather, Richard. Spring at Museums, Galleries and Arts Centres. The Museums, Galleries and Arts Centres of Hampshire Cultural Trust will be putting on a variety of events this spring. There'll be Easter-themed trails around the streets of Milestones Museum and gaming in the Dark Ages, along with pottery in Alton, dancing in Fareham, and arts and crafts at Aldershot and New Milton. In Winchester, head to 878 AD in the Brook Centre for a series of Anglo-Saxon games and riddles. You can challenge friends and family, and even compete with an Anglo-Saxon personalities to take a coveted spot on the leaderboard. For fans of Assassin's Creed, there's a chance to go behind the scenes and play Assassin's Creed-style board games. Gaming in the Dark Age at 878 will last from March the 29th to April the 14th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. inside the Brooks Centre. At the Ark in Jury Street, there'll be opportunity to work with a tutor to create a felt flower bookmark or an eco-bubble wand. The Arts and Crafts Workshop will run from April the 2nd to April the 12th. However, pre-booking is required. For one day only, there'll be special events to listen to stories about Saxons at Winchester City Museum on April the 9th at 11:30 a.m, 12:30 p.m. and 1:30 p.m. Join professional storyteller Dawn Nelson for tales of dragons, fairies and feastings. Storytelling sessions will last for approximately 20 minutes and are suitable for families with primary age children. On Easter weekend, Winchester City Museum in the Square will be hosting a day of celebration with an Easter hunt trail, Easter egg decorating and the chance to make a personalised Easter basket. There'll also be plant pot making in the preparation for planting seeds for the spring season. The craft sessions will continue from March the 30th until April the 14th during usual museum opening hours.
Richard, Deborah?
Susie Quattro to headline at Wickham. Susie Quattro will headline a star-studded lineup at this year's Wickham Festival. The American legend will join The Levellers, Seth Lakeman, Tony Christie, and many more at the event from August the 1st to the 4th. The Detroit-born singer will top the bill on the Friday night when she will be belting out hits including Devil Gate Drive, Can the Can, 48 Crash, She's in Love with You, and The Wild One. It'll be the first time the superstar has played the Wickham Festival, and organiser Peter Chegwin said her appearance is a real coup. He said, "We've had so many positive comments and ticket sales have soared, with people wanting to see a real icon who is still a major force. It's great to have a new name on the bill alongside some old friends in The Levellers and Ferocious Dog, who will be a powerful double act for the Saturday night. We have a really good mix this year. We have traditional folk favourites like Seth Lakeman, The Men They Couldn't Hang and Skipnish, plus the high-octane energy of Tankers the Henge and the madness of John Otway. But on the Saturday, we also have an exciting composite band, Dream in Colours, featuring the likes of Steve Knightley, Show of Hands, Johnny Calcy, Dole Foundation, Bennett Servan, Trouble Notes, and Eliza Marshall, Rangari. We still have other big names to announce, so we're looking forward to another top-quality event, albeit on a different site. After the problems with mud last year, we have responded to fans' feedback and are moving the arena to the other side of the Winchester Road. Four-day tickets are on sale at £200, with under-16s half price and under-10s £10. Day tickets are also available.
Thank you, Deborah. My piece is headed Watercress Lion Magic. The Watercress Lion has a new event for February half-term. The historic railway will be conjuring up tricks and entertainment on board its locomotives during its Magic of Locomotion event. There will also be magic shows in the old goods shed at Alresford. Activities will run throughout the half-term school holidays every day from 10:30 to 4:30, including close-up magic tricks from a magician travelling on the train. Visitors can find out how the magic makes the locomotives move and can step on and off the heritage trains at various stations along the Watercress Line's 10-mile route. Brake van rides will be available for free at Alresford Station. Author Simon Hall will be signing his book Trouble on the Water Meadow Line at the Old Goods Shed throughout the week. There will be pottery painting for an additional cost in the West Country Buffet, where there's hot and cold food and drinks to buy. More refreshments and snacks will be available at the Alton Kiosk, and the gift shop at Alresford will be open for mementos of the day. Young visitors can also receive an activity sheet of magic tricks. Heather, your piece, please.
A National Trust site near Romsey has launched an art exhibition to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day. More than 50 original humorous pieces by Heath Robinson, who drew to raise morale during the war, are on display at Mottisfont. The exhibition, which is on until April the 14th, also includes audio transcripts of thankful letters from the troops and the public at home. The display showcases Heath Robinson's dry, ironic humour in the face of war. For more information, go to nationaltrust.org.uk/visit/Hampshire/Mottisfont.
Heather, Richard.
Concert for Bereavement Charity. A Winchester string orchestra is performing in aid of a bereavement charity. Winchester Camerata is raising money for Winchester Bereavement Support at St Paul's Church on Saturday the 25th at 7 p.m. Saturday, February the 25th, did I say that? Yes. Sorry. The group is performing music that was all written and first performed in Paris, including, here we go, Charpentier's Te Deum, Rameau's Les Sauvages, Chevalier de Saint-Georges' L'Amant Anonyme, Ambroise Thomas's Andantino from Raymond, Bizet's Adagiato from La Vésienne, and Pierre's Serenade and Saint-Saëns' Rigaudon. Tickets, £20 for adults and £20 for students, are available on the door or via ticketsource.co.uk/winchcamerata.
Thank you, Richard. I'm so glad I didn't have to read that one out. You did very well.
I could have done that better.
No, very good. Right, Deborah, please.
Film Festival launches a new Culture for All policy. Winchester Film Festival has committed to a new Culture for All policy. The annual event took on a new format, which saw it split into two parts. As previously reported, the first half of the festival took place in November, while the second part will be held in February. The festival has been running for more than a decade and was called Brave in 2018 for screening the film Detainment about the murder of Jamie Bulger. The festival has also screened movies from directors who have been censored in their own countries. Festival director John Hayes says, "While there is a risk involved in screening films that test boundaries, the upside is that the films broaden horizons at a time when world views are becoming ever more polarised. This doesn't mean that we don't screen crowd-pleasing films. For every provocative, experimental or thought-provoking film, we seek to screen one that tickles the senses and makes our audience laugh. The challenge is finding the right balance. With this in mind, we try to inspire as diverse an audience as possible. To help facilitate this diversity this year, we have committed to a new Culture for All policy, with concessions not only for students, under 25s and over 65s, but also for anyone on a low income. For those who still can't afford a ticket, we offer a fee waiver. For more information about the policy and screenings in February and March, they can be found on the festival website."
Thank you, Deborah. Now, some bits and pieces that are coming up over the next few days and couple of weeks. Saturday the 10th of February at Twyford Parish Hall, there is Murder Mystery with the Geriactors. Join us for an exciting evening of mystery and suspense. Winchester Hospice and the Geriactors, a renowned group of talented performers, invite you to an unforgettable murder mystery event. That was on Saturday the 10th. Tuesday the 13th, there's the Shrove Tuesday Pancake Race that will start at 12:30 in the Cathedral Close. Winchester Film Society, also on Tuesday the 13th, will be presenting the film Hive, that is at the Winchester Science Centre and Planetarium. Saturday the 24th of February, Kingsgate Voices are presenting a concert which starts at 7 p.m. in St Paul's Church, Winchester. Wednesday the 28th, Wessex Quilt Makers, Diamond Stitches with Anne Griffiths. So it's a talk by Anne Griffiths, who is a textile artist, and that is being held at King Harold Court, Christchurch Road, Winchester. Now, before we go on to the general news, just have a look at the lighting up times for the coming week. The sun, if there is any, will rise at about 7:40 a.m. and set again at around 5 p.m. So we go on with the general news, starting with Heather, please.
This item is headed Campaigners Demand Halt to Pub Homes Plan. Pub campaigners have accused Winchester City Council of a conflict of interest over plans to convert the corner house into flats. The Campaign for Pubs has written a letter to City Council leader Martin Todd about the controversial scheme. The pub in North Walls closed in 2019 after it had been run by the little pub company operated by Jane Gillen. Winchester City Council bought the freehold in December 2019 for £500,000. It had been marketed by Savills, who initially priced it at £700,000 before accepting the City Council's offer. A planning application to convert it into six flats was submitted in 2022, but has been held up over nitrate regulations, the way of mitigating the environmental impact of development. The plan will go before the Planning Committee next Wednesday, February the 7th, with a recommendation to approve. The letter, signed by Pubs Protection Advisor James Watson and Vice Chair Dawn Hopkins, said, "We are asking specifically that you stop or withdraw the planning application and allow for a proper consideration of the future of the corner house, Foresters, including as a pub, something that has so far been denied both by the previous owners and also by the direct action of Winchester City Council to buy the pub as a development opportunity, something we were staggered and frankly appalled to hear about. We also find it extraordinary that considering the City Councillor's policy obligations to resist the unnecessary closure of pubs, and with a local plan that reflects that, that it has itself bought a pub with the deliberate intention to convert it. This is undermining your own local development plan. There is also, therefore, clearly a conflict of interest with Winchester City Council applying to Winchester City Council for permission to wipe this pub permanently off the map and cashing in by developing it or selling it to a developer. We urge you to listen and act. Please give this pub a chance. Councillor Todd said, the decision by planning committee is not yet taken and they will be considering the change of use as part of their decision making. They're quite independent of the administration, and indeed the last city council application for planning permission was refused by them. I share your desire to protect community pubs, both through planning policy and direct actions of the council. In practice, the Corner House had stopped being a pub, as most of us would recognise it, long before it finally closed. It was a brilliant cafe and restaurant, and I and many others particularly enjoyed their excellent breakfasts and brunches. We have a desperate shortage of affordable houses in our city, which the City Council is determined to address. To view the planning application online, search 22/00860/FUL on the City Council's planning portal.
Thank you, Heather. Richard? Joyful School celebrates outstanding Ofsted rating. The Hampshire Infant School is celebrating after being rated outstanding at its latest Ofsted inspection. Bishop's Waltham Infant School pupils were described as joyful and successful in the inspector's report. Inspectors from the Office for Standards and Education visited the school on November the 28th and 29th last year. The report said expectations from the start of early years are high, with no ceiling put on aspirations for all. Pupils rise to meet these expectations, achieving exceptionally well across the curriculum. Behaviour is exemplary. Pupils are impeccably polite, compassionate and respectful. They help each other to act with kindness by celebrating fellow pupils using the school's well-embedded badger values. The school strives to make the world a better place. Head teacher Janine Richards said, our whole staff team is dedicated to making sure that learning is memorable and exciting for the children who attend. We're overjoyed that the team who inspected us recognised this and the many strengths of our school.
Thank you, Richard. Deborah.
Crown star joins Right Royal Wastewater Row. A star of Netflix's royal drama The Crown has criticised a water company plan to pump large quantities of wastewater into the River Test. James Murray visited Chilbolton Cow Common near Stockbridge, where Southern Water has set up a temporary pump. Chilbolton Cow Common is a site of special scientific interest. Although the initial plan was to start pumping on Thursday, January the 25th, residents were informed Southern Water had decided to postpone it temporarily. Mr. Murray, who played Prince Andrew in the final two seasons of The Crown and has a main role in the new Apple series, Masters of the Air, produced by Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks, expressed his concerns. He said, Southern Water cannot be permitted to dump the equivalent of an Olympic-sized swimming pool's worth into the River Test on an SSI area which will ruin spawning grounds as well and destroy vital habitat. The residents of Chilbolton Cow Common have been rallying against Southern Water's plans due to environmental concerns. A petition against the proposed creation on change.org received more than 1,000 signatures in just more than 24 hours. However, a Southern Water spokesperson said the pumping plan will be implemented if water and sewage start entering people's homes. The spokesperson said, as part of an emergency plan to prevent flooding, we are preparing overland pipes to remove the groundwater and prevent it causing internal flooding of homes, schools and businesses. The plan will only be implemented if exceptionally high levels of groundwater overload the sewage system, causing water and sewage to enter people's homes. The geology of the Sil Bolton area is highly vulnerable. The plan drawn up with the cooperation from the Environment Agency may see us pump groundwater out of the sewer and drainage network and into nearby watercourses as a last resort. An impact assessment is currently being carried out, and samples from the network and from the area where releases may be made are being collected for analysis.
Thank you, Deborah. My piece is on a similar subject. It's headed Chalking Up Support. A Winchester civic chief has supported a move for greater protection of a Hampshire chalk stream. City Councillor Kelsey Lurney has said that she would back a campaign to secure Site of Special Scientific Interest, SSSI, status for the River Meon. At a full council meeting, Councillor Jerry Pett asked her if the City Council would support a campaign to get SSSI status for the river, saying it would give it the same degree of protection and placing the same obligations on water companies as applied to the Itchen. Councillor Pratt asked that the council take on a catalysing role in revitalising the Meon partnership, encouraging partners to work towards the goal. Councillor Lerner responded, "While the Itchen gains significant attention as the river of international importance, the Meon and its surroundings are a very important part of our local landscape and ecosystem, but it does get overshadowed by its neighbouring river. Under the Wildlife and Countryside Act 1981 Sites of Special Scientific Interest, they are determined by Natural England and are not something this council can designate." The leader of Winchester City Council, Councillor Martin Todd, and I are both happy to give our support to those campaigning to give the Meon additional protection. This is particularly important at a time when climate change and the failure of water companies to invest sufficiently in cleaning up their operations are causing extreme stress and damage to so many waterways across the country. The subject was raised during the City Council meeting on January the 17th. Heather, please.
Concern as rats spotted across city centre. Numerous sightings of rats have been spotted around Winchester, sparking concerns about environmental health, writes Tom Wilson. People have complained after seeing the rodents in broad daylight across the city, including the railway station, High Street and Cathedral Close. The problem is so bad on the railway embankment in Station Road that signs have been put up in the last 24 hours urging pedestrians to call Winchester City Council to complain about environmental health. One man from Winchester, aged 58, who asked not to be named, said, "There are loads and loads and loads of rats scurrying out from the railing on the railway embankment. The oak trees along the embankment have loads of acorns, which presumably they are ferreting away to feed the existing family before producing a few dozen more. It's quite concerning. Multiple rat trap boxes have been placed along the fences of the railway embankment and in another problem spot, Colebrook Street. Complaints have also been made about the city centre, with most sightings in Colebrook Street near the cathedral. Amelia Riviere, High Sheriff of Hampshire, said, "On Saturday, when I walked around the cathedral at the East End, I saw four rats in the morning, so in the daylight, and on my way back through, I saw another two. Either there is a rat outpacing me, or Winchester is the new Hamlin pre the Pied Piper." She said she also had seen them in the High Street. "Lots of people are horrified by rats, and that's understandable, because they bring diseases and suggest a level of poverty. And I think that that's not right for public health reasons. It must be awful for the people who live near here." A council spokesman said, "The presence of greater numbers of rats around the station has been reported to our environmental health team, who are working with Network Rail and Southwestern Railway to address the issue, including what preventive measures can be taken on by the rail operator."
Thank you, Heather. Richard.
Right, Let's have a welcoming church, says yes. Bishop. The new Bishop of Winchester has spoken in favour of blessing same-sex marriages. 2 weeks after being welcomed, the Right Reverend Philip Mountstephen returned to Winchester Cathedral to face a range of questions from Cathedral Friends Chairman Bruce Parker. In front of a large audience in the choir, with more joining in the online live stream, the new bishop spoke openly about his stance on several local and national issues. The Reverend Mountstephen was born in Hampshire and graduated from the University of Southampton before assuming his current post. He was Bishop of Truro. As co-chair of the Living in Love and Faith Steering Group with the Bishop of London, Bishop Mountstephen has been involved with the issue of blessing same-sex relationships in the Church of England. He said, "I think the way in which we conduct ourselves in these debates is at least as important as the attitudes that we hold. If we can't speak what we hold to be the truth in love, we will be far better not to speak at all. My understanding of marriage is that it is a lifelong commitment between a man and a woman, but I long for us to be a generous and welcoming church and a non-judgmental church, so my partial instinct is always to include rather than exclude. And I would much rather have a messy church with some unanswered questions in it than a pure church that goes on excluding people. I'd be the first to recognise that there were good things in same-sex relationships that I think should be recognised and celebrated. Some of the nicest, most supportive, least judgmental clergy in the Diocese of Truro were the gay clergy, who were just a joy to work with." Mr. Parker, who is a former BBC South presenter and political editor, also raised the question of a number of Hampshire parishes which were angry about having to amalgamate with many other parishes and with only one priest in charge. The bishop said the approach was not second best, but how the church is supposed to function, saying, "This is all our business. It's not the business of some. It's not the business of the ordained. It's the business of us all." Bishop Mountstephen has already taken up his seat on the front bench of the House of Lords and made his maiden speech, which focused on a key personal interest, the persecution of Christian believers across the world.
Thank you, Richard. Deborah?
Funding for 75 police officers. Hampshire's Police and Crime Commissioner, Donna Jones, has announced that she will fund 75 more police officers. The extra roles will mean that Donna Jones has funded the force to increase its number of police officers by 725 since March 2020. The announcement follows a police and crime panel meeting on Friday, January the 26th, where the Commissioner outlined her budget proposal for 2024 to 25. She said, "When I became Commissioner in May 2021, the public told me they wanted more police officers on their streets. The extra funding will go towards ensuring that I can deliver on my pledge to open 10 more police stations to the public. Additional officers is one part of fighting crime and making your neighbourhood safe. Making sure they're in the heart of communities is paramount." The proposal to increase police numbers follows a public consultation involving more than 6,300 responses from residents who said antisocial behaviour, speeding and burglary were the crimes they were most concerned about. Consequently, the Commissioner proposed an increase in the police precept of the council tax by 19 pence per week, which is 83 pence per month, or £10 a year, based on bands B and D. The increase of 3.98% is in line with the rate of inflation. It will raise an additional £8 million for Hampshire Police in 2024-5. The Police and Crime Panel supported the proposal.
Thank you, Deborah. I've got a news item about the police as well. Armed police swoop on cowboys filming music. Two men dressed as cowboys were confronted by armed police in Winchester for having guns, but officers found that they were props for a music video. Police with guns surrounded two men in Stockbridge Road on January the 24th, Sol Milson said on Facebook. We were shooting a music video. Someone reported the car for having guns in the back. We got guns put in our faces, carted off in a police car to Basingstoke Police Station. They soon realised the guns were props. On a plus side, music video is coming out on February the 1st. Eyewitness Jenny Penfield said, I was in Cafe Rest, got yelled at by armed police to go back inside. Hampshire police said a 28-year-old man from Chalmersford was arrested on suspicion of possession of an imitation firearm with intent to cause fear of violence. He has been released with no further action. A 29-year-old man from West End was arrested on suspicion of possession of an imitation firearm with intent to cause fear of violence. He has been released under investigation. The police.
This item is entitled Family Stress, a Disgusting Home. A Sutton Scotney woman has said issues with her council house have made it almost uninhabitable. Marie Waters, 34, moved into her house on Wanston Close with her children, 15-year-old Leah and 14-year-old Connor, in December 22. The single parents said that immediately after moving in, the family started having issues with damp and mould on the southeastern walls of the house, in both the sitting room and bedrooms, which also damaged the integrity of one of the windows. The last straw came in November, when builders came and stripped the plaster from one of the walls in the sitting room and replaced it with a combination of sand and cement instead of a waterproof compound. Miss Waters said the work caused a large amount of dust to spread around the house and the sheeting was not put down to protect the floor or furniture. She said, we've lost that communal space. This last Christmas has been really hard. We normally have a tree and do all the decorating, but we couldn't this year. We asked for a bigger house because my son is 14 now and his room is a converted bathroom. It's not big enough. But when I told the council about the size it should be, we were told that the council don't go by sizes and regulations that are listed on the internet. I wouldn't let people in the house because it was too disgusting. Realistically, we need to move because my son can't cope. However, if the council got the house sorted, it would make life simpler. When we moved in, it was a new property and we loved it. But if we'd known about these issues, I never would have moved in. A Winchester City Council spokesperson said, before Christmas, our tenancy support team visited, assigning a dedicated tenancy sustainment officer to support the tenant in applying for alternative accommodation that would suit her and her son. Our council homes are in high demand, so there is an unavoidable wait for properties, but officers have also ensured that the family have the support they are entitled to. In the meantime, initial damp works took place in November, and our contractor is keen to complete the work as soon as possible and is liaising directly with the tenant to arrange dates for the completion of the work. This includes a finishing coat on the treated wall, the replacement of the window and window seal, plus subsequent repair to external brickwork. On completion of plastering works, the living room will also be deep cleaned.
You hear that, Richard?
More water, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
Yes. Living hell after 3 months of flood trauma. Residents in Coldon Common are fed up following 3 months of traumatic flooding issues. Sewage started seeping into the gardens of Branbridge residents for the first time at the end of October. Flooding and unsanitary water from overflowing manholes has continued to ruin the gardens of three residents nearly every time there is sustained heavy rainfall. Neighbours Margaret Hamilton, Rosie Taylor and Liza Moore, who live on the corner of Church Road and Highbridge Road, have teamed up with the support of Ward Councillor Sue Cook to keep fellow neighbours updated through a WhatsApp group and to fight Southern Water for a long-term solution. Margaret, 70, tore her hamstring when trying to avoid the splash of sewage from a car passing by and now needs 6 months of rehabilitation. She said, I had to cancel all my Christmas parties because I was totally housebound after injuring myself. Sometimes no one comes out and other times it takes 24 to 48 hours. We're not seeing an end to the problem. Southern Water should be talking to us. We've all written to them. There's no way I want sewage in our chalk stream, but why should we be impacted? They've just moved the problem. Liza, 52, put up ladders to climb over a neighbour's fence as the safest route for her son to get to school. She said, the smell is horrendous. It happens every time it rains. It's taking up so much of her time and it's traumatic. If it's not raining, we have tankers outside 24/7. We just wanted to come, someone to come and talk to us and own that there is a problem and tell us how they're going to solve it. I just want a quiet life. Rosie, 36, has had to carry her dog to her car to avoid the contaminated water and to take the dog for a walk. She said, it's been all-consuming. We're late for work because you have to phone Southern Water and then you get put on hold for ages. We're constantly worried. I'm sleep-deprived and I'm really anxious. The water backs up so much that it gets into a pipe in my house and I can't use my water. Southern Water put me up in a hotel for 2 nights, but only after 2 months of phoning up. The residents have been supported by Coldon Common Parish Council, which is encouraging villagers to report any incidents to it and Southern Water. Councillor Cook said, it's been a living hell for them. We need to make sure that this problem doesn't continue to control the lives of these residents. A spokesperson for Southern Water said, our network in Branbridge has been overwhelmed with groundwater and rainwater in recent months. Our teams have been working round the clock in the area to protect both the River Itchen and customers from flooding. We continue to explore a long-term solution that can protect customers and the River Itchen.
Thank you, Richard. Deborah.
A bit of a change. Building a love of stories. A housing development company has joined forces with a Hampshire nursery to celebrate National Storytelling Week. As part of the national initiative, Basingstoke-based Bewley Homes organised a professional storyteller to visit Fairlands Nursery in Shedfield and encourage the children with an animated and interactive retelling of the classic fable Three Little Pigs. Bewley is building in Wickham and aims to support schools, nurseries and other good causes wherever it builds to boost community engagement. Lisa Hurst, nursery manager, said the children really enjoyed Amanda's animated version of the Three Little Pigs, which is one of their favourites. Storytelling plays a crucial role in early childhood development, enhancing language skills, promoting creativity, and fostering a lifelong love for reading. Elaine Stratford, Bewley Sales and Marketing Director, said, we believe that stories have the power to transport us to magical worlds and stimulate young minds in remarkable ways. National Storytelling Week provides a wonderful opportunity to engage with local children, spark their imagination, and promote the joys of reading. National Storytelling Week runs from Saturday, January the 27th to Sunday, February the 4th. And encourages everyone across the country to read and share stories. Research has shown that even 10 minutes a day of reading and sharing stories with children can have a hugely positive impact on their development.
Thank you, Deborah. My piece is headed Major Works to Improve Safety. A major Winchester road will be getting a raft of works to improve its safety, but local residents will have to endure night-time working for several weeks. The County Council says there will be overnight working from Wednesday, February the 7th. Work includes a new traffic signal-controlled puffin pedestrian crossing on the Romsey Road junction with Clifton Terrace. The work will start on Monday, the February the 5th, and last for up to 6 weeks. The scheme will be in place for an initial trial period of up to 18 months. Councillor Nick Adams-King, Hampshire County Council's Cabinet Lead for Universal Services, said, this stretch of Romsey Road is extremely busy, especially at peak times. It's also a popular place to cross the road due to the proximity of the city centre, hospital, university, schools and Peter Simmons College. The location was identified as a place where local people would like to see improvements that will make journeys safer, while also encouraging more cycling and walking. These new improvements have been specifically designed to deliver this aim. We will be closely examining the impact of the changes over the trial period before making any decision on the permanent scheme. Some temporary road closures will be required during the 6-week construction period, so we are asking people to leave a little bit more time if they need to travel in this area and plan their journeys accordingly. Hampshire County Council has appointed Rokon Contractors Limited to carry out the improvement works. They include the installation of a Puffin pedestrian crossing, a new contraflow cycle lane going against the flow along Clifton Terrace. Clifton Terrace will be made no entry from Romsey Road, and traffic, except for bicycles, will only be permitted to turn right when exiting from Clifton Terrace. Traffic except bicycles will be unable to enter Clifton Hill from the Clifton Terrace junction. Traffic travelling from Clifton Hill will need to turn right into Clifton Terrace, except for bicycles, and a section of on-street parking will be relocated from the southern section of Clifton Terrace to the northern section of Clifton Terrace near Allison Way. There will be a 24-hour, 7-day closure of Clifton Terrace from Romsey Road to the junction of Clifton Hill for the duration of the works. Vehicle access for residents will be maintained from Clifton Hill, junction of Clifton Terrace, to Allison Way. Works will take place on Monday to Friday with some weekend working. Please.
This item is about sprucing up historic monuments. Work will start soon on long-awaited repairs and cleaning of two of Winchester's finest monuments. The Buttercross in the High Street and Hyde Abbey Gate are to have renovation work, the town forum was told. This spring, the Buttercross will have damage repaired and a proper clean to remove moss and pigeon droppings. Usually, only ionised water and soft brushes can be used. The specialist work will see the monument swathed in scaffolding for up to 3 months, said Councillor John Tippett Cooper, chairman of the Forms Heritage Group. Information boards will explain the work to the public. Councillor Tippett Cooper said, "It is very good news and a sign that the City Council takes preservation of its historic sites seriously." At Hyde Abbey Gate, the entrance to Hyde Abbey, where King Alfred the Great was buried, new pigeon proofing will be undertaken after several failed efforts, as reported in the Chronicle. Other work includes new internal lighting, resurfacing the floor, and installing new signs and interpretation boards. It is set to start in early summer. Councillor Tippett Cooper said, "We are hoping to speak to local heritage groups to get a sense of what other information to put in there. There are real experts in the local community to hear what they say." Permission is being sought from Historic England to put up, temporarily, a banner that the Friends of Hyde Abbey Gate have sourced from the British Library, depicting the granting of a royal charter to New Minster in Winchester.
Richard?
Art Company wants to turn cafe into shop. A UK-wide art company has applied to convert a former cafe back into a shop. The lease to the closed cafe, Autumn House, in the square in Wichita, has been sold to Castle Fine Art. Patrick Lennon, facilities manager at Washington Green Fine Art and Castle Galleries, has submitted a planning application to Winchester City Council. Plans include a fascia sign reading Castle Fine Art, new oak flooring, display walls, more economical heating and internal decorations. The print and art retailer has opened galleries all over the country and offers international deliveries, but this would be its first shop in Hampshire. Autumn House, a cafe and bar owned by the same people as the Pump House, suddenly closed in the summer. An ex-employee of the cafe, who asked to remain anonymous, said that staff were not informed of the closure until the last possible moment. She estimated that she was owed around £2,000, with the entire staff owed at least a month's wages. Before Autumn House, the Grade 2 listed unit was occupied by Dingham's Cookshop. Castle Fine Arts planning application was submitted on Friday, January the 12th.
Deborah.
City accused of car park greenwash. A Green Party councillor has accused civic chiefs of greenwashing over its budget to improve the city's car parks. Councillor Malcolm Wallace made the comments as Winchester City Council's Cabinet approved £753,000 for car park upgrades over the next year. This comes after the council increased parking charges in the city centre last year, as well as introducing charges on Sundays. Parking on a Sunday for more than 4 hours increased from £2.10 to £17. The previously free overnight period from 7 p.m. to 8 a.m. now costs £3.30 for more than an hour. A new tariff of £1.80 for 1 hour and a volunteer permit was subsequently agreed. Speaking at the meeting on Wednesday, January the 24th, Councillor Wallace said, "Traffic is the largest source of greenhouse gas in Winchester. Residents need improved options to get around. It's a massive disappointment. Cabinet is looking to approve this budget with just 3% of it for alternative transport. More money is being spent on car park signage than on alternative transport. Please, can the Cabinet member advise when real action will be seen on alternative travel options? Not thinking, not plans, but real action. At the moment, all the noise being made by the administration about going greener faster is sounding more and more like greenwashing. Our residents deserve better." The council's budget includes a variety of improvements, including signage, lighting, pay machine upgrades, CCTV upgrades, repairs and improvements to Middlebrook Street car park. Councillor Kelsey Learney, Cabinet Member for the Climate Emergency, said, "Parking is an important part of supporting a vibrant economy. We aim to provide high-quality parking while encouraging the use of low-carbon options. We need to remember that people pay to use our car parks and they deserve a good experience." Councillor Lucille Thompson said, "We need to maintain the car parks to a safe and a good quality standard." She said residents know they have a cheaper parking option in different areas of the city. Councillor Chris Westwood said, "It is vital that we invest in our parking in the city. Our businesses in the city centre are thriving despite difficult economic circumstances. There are many schemes which promote green activities across the city." Cabinet approved the budget of £753,000, subject to it being rubber stamped by the full council in February.
Thank you, Deborah. Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week, but before we go, another reminder that if you have any problems with your recording, the contact number is on the key fob attached to the memory stick. Now, would you please put the memory stick and the address label back into the wallet when you are finished with it and return it to us as soon as possible. Thanks to all the support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition, and of course, many thanks to my readers today, Heather.
Goodbye.
Richard.
Bye.
Deborah.
Goodbye.
And from me, Peter. Until next time, goodbye.